My name is Jim Wallace. I'm with the University of Washington. We're giving a presentation today about a software system we're developing called CODA. It's a Continuity of Operations Data Analysis System. I'm going to start out by giving some background of the project itself, how we went about information needs assessment, the CODA software system itself, and future directions. During emergencies and disasters, public health workers and decision makers have to decide how to aggregate resources to sustain the highest possible level of service in the face of disaster. These are actually the pictures of some of our public health centers in the Seattle area. Seattle, by the way, and King County, which this is Seattle is a part of, is the 14th largest metropolitan area in the United States, including almost 2 million people. So it's, even though we're kind of up by Alaska, it's actually much larger than a lot of people realize. The clinic services we're talking about in this particular case include primary care, dental, immunizations, family planning, and WIC. And we're not actually, what I'll be talking about today is not, is restricted to clinic services, and it doesn't actually include things like plumbing inspection, for example. King County itself has, King Public Health Seattle King County employs, and has employed recently like almost 1,900 people. So it's quite large, and a lot of the services that are provided aren't direct clinical services. As far as continuity of operations planning, since I'm a computer guy, we focused on informatics functions. And we looked at 14 public health Seattle King County clinics. The functions we were talking about would be to identify critical functions and services, key personnel, and the informatics functions of providing data and systems support. There are many obstacles, obviously, in the case of a disaster to continuity of operations, and foremost of which could actually be in our area. We had a 6.7 on Richter scale earthquake in the year 2000. So problems with facilities are at the forefront. And this includes just the safety of the buildings themselves and whether there's power, whether the building's flooded or not. We just met with the head of preparedness for King County, and he was saying even though a building looks like it might be okay, it might be perfectly suitable, like in other circumstances, there are cases where you just simply can't use it anymore. Communications, obviously, during the 2000 earthquake, I believe cell phones were working maybe for text messaging, but a lot of the communication systems were down. I believe like 300 megahertz radios are actually used for EMS services, generally speaking. So there's no guarantee that the internet's going to be there or cable television or anything, you know. Transportation systems in Puget Sound, we don't have a lot of the surface streets that are available in other communities, like someplace like Chicago, where you can actually get around. So we're actually constrained by the interstate highway system and a few major arterials and highways. And then, of course, the competing needs just politically for emergency services and staff that'll happen in the case of a disaster. So the background of this project goes back about a year and a half. We were contacted by Public Health Seattle King County with the request that they needed a way to actually visualize where their public health workers would be in the case of a disaster. And then they were wondering whether there was an alternative to putting a map up on the wall, something like out of a World War II movie and sticking pins in it or something. So we were working on a GIS project at the time and said, yes, we think we can come up with something. So this actually evolved into a pilot project of emergency preparedness and led by Ann Turner, and who's a PI, and Blaine Reeder, who's a graduate student at the University of Washington. And they actually conducted interviews, did requirements gathering with seven managers, five current and two former managers of what we called service delivery areas in King County that's split up into three service delivery areas according to a geography with multiple clinics per area. They focused on communication, staff scheduling, and decision making, and a critical incident that happened, which was a December snowstorm. And I'm not sure if anybody's been out to Seattle or not, but I mean, anybody who lives in the Northeast or the northern tier of the United States is pretty used to having snow and having the streets cleared and getting people to work. But in our case, I think we have 5 snowplows, and they all go to the airport or something like that when it snows. So, plus it's really steep. So the good news was is when the interviews were conducted, this was all very fresh in the managers' minds of what issues they actually had in terms of working around the difficulties. And Blaine Reeder created 25 scenarios of use by from these management interviews, and we selected 4 of those to actually build or begin building a prototype information system. This is actually a picture I had to show that I took outside my house last December. I mean, the kids were in heaven because they finally got the snowstorm they'd always dreamed of, but the parents were starting to lose it because they were having to stay home and miss work and everything. This is actually like literally a half a block off of a major arterial in Seattle. So this was the shape of our roads, and it was for like several weeks. For the major requirements from the managers were that they could actually just simply see the individual staff member information regarding job class, job skills, where they lived, their assigned work site, and contact information. They also wanted to evaluate prioritized services and like what skills were actually necessary to be able to enact those services. They wanted to be able to see, according to the staff they had available, which services that they could deliver, and finally visualize where the individual staff members live and a relationship to each public health center, which was actually kind of the fun part of the project. So when I began working on the software for this, I actually kind of worked backwards because I'm a big fan of Google Maps, and that was the kind of the fun part. The resources we had to work with in terms of the information systems was an exercise completed for emergency preparedness by King County, which showed essential clinic functions, which broke down to about 10 functions linked to job categories. In other words, a module that would say this is a particular function such as primary care, and these are the staff required to be able to provide those services. We had the King County Employee Database, which I said is about 1,900 people, out of which 821 of the employees were involved in critical clinical services. So most of those are actually in 2 different categories. When you start looking into the database and looking into the categories of things, probably 25 to 30% of the employees were actually administrative assistants, or they were public health nurses who were actually doing most of the work for clinic services, which might not be surprising to anybody here, but it was clearly broken down into very few categories. We knew the job category and the clinic assignment for each person, and we also had access to the employee zip code from this test data set. So we didn't actually have identifiable addresses, but I think there's something like several hundred zip codes in the Seattle King County area, so it was actually pretty specific. And when you actually looked at individual clinics and individual workers, it looked like it broke down to about 1 per zip code. We also had the locations of the public health clinics and offices and the addresses of the offices, and also within the associated with service delivery areas. So each service delivery area has about 4 or 5 clinics associated with it. And then finally we linked it to the King County Jobs Database, which would allow you to say, I guess if you're putting together a clinic or looking at clinical services during an emergency, what are the essential duties of a person in terms of succession? Could we swap them out with somebody else? What are their salaries? How much is it going to cost me to not have people come to work or not have the clinic open or have a clinic open? And what are the licensing requirements? This is a map of our King County Public Health Clinics in Google Maps. So we went ahead and geocoded this, and you can see it spans quite a diverse area with a lot of water and not a lot of ways to get back and forth across the water. So the transportation is quite an issue, besides the fact I think we have like the top 5 worst traffic in the U.S. right now. It's terrible. This is an example. This is actually a Google Map image of all of the clinic services employees within Puget Sound, and you can actually see that it goes out quite a ways. I mean, King County's about, and Seattle's right about here, so you can see there are people living way out of the area itself, which was kind of surprising too, which I'm not a big believer in visualization in some realms, but basically this actually allows you to see instantaneously that there are a lot of people that are not going to be able to get to work if there's a problem in a particular area. I'll talk a little bit about that later. This is the basic CODA system architecture, and this is based on a system that we built a couple of, we published about a year and a half ago in the International Journal of Health Geographics called EpiView. So one of the requirements was is that we actually have a standalone laptop computer. The idea with this is if there's a power outage or something like that, that you're going to want to be able to have access to your database. So what we've done is actually built, like currently, I have even here at Finn a Windows-based laptop that has a built-in web server. It actually has a MySQL database. It has all the logic built in Java using server-side Java. And it runs pretty quickly. One of the features of Google Maps and also of modern web technology is a technology called AJAX, which is asynchronous JavaScript using XML. And what this does is turn your browser into what you might call a thick client. In other words, it's an intelligent browser, so every time that you click on something, it doesn't have to make a round trip to a server, even though in this case the server happens to be on the laptop. But still, the response is quite remarkable using this technology. And then this is connected up to a web-based interface, so we use HTML, and then when available, the internet goes out to the Google Maps servers and actually builds the maps using information from the MySQL database. This is a simplified view of the MySQL database itself, where we actually have the 800 employees here, and this is connected up to King County jobs database, which would allow you to actually drill down into all relevant information for that particular position. This is one of the features that was requested by the clinic managers, the service delivery area managers that manage multiple clinics. And this is a view of actually all of the Seattle King County clinics. And what we're looking at here is, let's go to my mouse, looking at clinics to the north. This would be the North SDA. This would be the Central SDA, including Bellevue. This Microsoft's just over here, pretty close. And then this is the South service delivery area. So there would actually be three managers in charge of all these different clinics. And the idea is, in a case of emergency, what they really want to be able to do is to consolidate the clinics into one clinic per service delivery area. And that's what it would look like here, where you would actually take one clinic and move everything in for the north here, everything for central King County here, for also here, and then also a clinic down for the southern service delivery area. Here's an example of the North service delivery area and all the clinics, the employees. Once again, the reason I have this is to show that there people are dispersed all over the place and that there are people who like actually live quite far from the clinics where they're assigned to. We have quite a bit of traffic issues in the area. So one of the advantages of Google Maps is you actually have it's quite easy to create overlays. In this case, we actually have a special, it's included with Google Maps now, but a special traffic button where you can actually click on the traffic and see whether anybody's having issues or would possibly have issues in terms of the major thoroughfares that are closed down. This was taken at about 4:30 in the afternoon a few weeks ago, and you can actually see the red zone here, which is kind of perpetually red almost, but there just aren't that many ways to get around from one place to another. You can always take a ferry across here. Here's one of the features of the CODA system using the GIS, where it actually has pop-ups of all of the job categories. In this particular case, we have where the worker lives and what what zip code they're in this particular case, how many employees are at this zip code, and also what clinic they're associated with. And in the future versions of this, I haven't actually put it into production yet. We'll be able to drill down into these to much more specific levels. And then here's just an example of, you know, like the not so fun stuff. If you don't have the GIS available, you can actually get a roster of all your employees using the same menu selection system, which would allow you to select employees by clinic, by service that they actually deliver, and by service delivery area. This is actually kind of a modified screenshot, and you might be wondering, in terms of continuity of data analysis system, where's the analysis? Ann Turner, who was a PI on the project, pointed out the other day that there's a website called Epicurious, where I always thought websites were recipes. You just go and get a recipe for something. But it turns out you can look in your refrigerator and see what you have and type it into Epicurious, and it'll actually tell you what you can make with it, which could be a pretty frightening idea. Anyway, this is the logic we actually are working on building into the system is somewhat like that. The idea would be, in terms of your clinic division, in this case primary care, these are the components for the particular clinic service, primary care. These are the minimum number that you actually are required to have this service up and functioning. This shows how many are required. This is all data-based. And this shows how many are actually available in all clinics in the North service delivery area. So the system could actually tell you, and actually will tell you at this point, what services can we actually provide given this particular employee roster set. Of course, there are challenges with this. I think just maintaining an updated employee and clinic information system is going to be first and foremost, and connecting it up with the workforce database. We have a spreadsheet from workforce which we can upload, geocode all of the addresses and all of the relevant information. We currently have all of the clinic assignments and all of the rules in terms of what services require how many employees. But just keeping the thing up and rolling, as any of you develop software know, is quite a challenge. The geospatial visualization actually requires connection to the internet. So when the internet's not available, you're not going to be able to have it. I mean, I'm of a personal opinion that I can't live without the internet, so it better be available at some point. But clearly, you know, in terms of a functioning system, this has to work as a standalone system and work without Google Maps. We're actually working on integrating Microsoft's Maps program into this particular package, so that would make it not completely open source anymore, but it would actually allow you to run all your GIS stuff, you know, within one package. And then finally, the sustainability of web-based systems in the face of rapidly changing standards. So right now, this has actually been tested with a Firefox browser, but it seems every time you turn around, somebody's got a new browser or some kind of new technology which could possibly compromise a web-based system versus something that's purely an application that's running, let's say, on a Windows system. In terms of future directions, like I said, we just met with the director of emergency preparedness for King County. It turns out in 1962, there was a dam built to prevent flooding in a valley south of Seattle called the Kent Valley. It's called the Howard Hanson Dam, and it was quite successful, actually. It's probably 30 or 40 miles, actually, from any major population area. Last January, the Army Corps of Engineers noticed that the dam is actually leaking water. So they've decided to investigate, and they don't know what's wrong. And it looks like it's inevitable. This is the, let's see if I can find it here. This is actually the Howard Hanson Dam here. Can't see it very well. And this is the Green River. You might have heard of the Green River from other news in the past. And it runs up through the Kent Valley. And this is the affected area. So this is expected to affect as many as 20,000 people who will have to be evacuated, plus our election centers down there, a correctional facility. You can actually see in terms of the crosses, all of the public health clinics. So actually taking an area by zip code and enclosing it in a polygon using Google Maps and showing the area that's potentially affected. And what we learned was is that the major problem, this is maybe not what you would think, that's flooding per se, is that many people who work in these, like live over on the east side, are going to be unable to get to the clinics themselves simply because the traffic's going to be a mess. So what's proposed is to actually either create temporary clinics or to consolidate, like I was showing in an earlier slide, into fewer clinics and take the people inside here and then move them to outside clinics. But you can see that it would be really useful to be able to say, where does everybody live? And we haven't implemented this yet in the software itself, but it'd be pretty straightforward to compute the actual distances and database them of where everybody is, including whatever impediments there would be for them to actually get to work. Another thing we're facing in the next few months is the H1N1. This is a picture put together by Neil Abernethy, one of our faculty members, showing the school closures from last winter. And as you can see, there are quite a few school closures. I'm not sure, you know, whether it's true or not. I saw in the paper the other day they're talking about 50% of the population being affected by influenza this coming year. Blaine Reeder, who's one of the project leads on this project, actually said that he thinks that there are as many as 40% of the workforce might actually be required to stay at home due to social distancing. So another factor is how are you going to put together clinics when 40% of your workforce isn't going to be available? And finally, we were working on a little project during the H1N1 when it was all like the rage, and that is the distribution of antivirals from King County pharmacies. So the state actually received a stockpile. The state was distributing into various hospitals. But how are we actually going to be able to track the distribution of the antivirals if there is a major influenza outbreak? So we just went ahead and geocoded all the pharmacies in the Seattle area. But in conclusion, I want to say that this just kind of gives you an example in terms of future directions of how we can use Google Maps or other technologies to mash up information and to be able to provide it in a way that, not that you couldn't do it ultimately using a spreadsheet or pencil and paper, but using computers to actually be able to make life easier in public health. I'd like to acknowledge John Hartman in Public Health Seattle King County, and Ann Turner, our PI on the project, Blaine Reeder, the graduate student who kind of got this project rolling, Chen Yi, who built the EpiView system that this is based on, and Sven Sorensen, our go-to systems administrator at the Center for Public Health Informatics. Anyway, thanks for your attention. Take any questions if there are any. Well, that would be the idea. Interestingly enough, when we interviewed one of the managers in terms of disaster preparedness, he said there are cultural factors which make this not as simple as it would seem. That there are people who work at these clinics, and there are people who, the clients of the clinics, can go and expect to see those people at those clinics. So this is not, you know, the clinic workers aren't fungible, let's say. But yes, I mean, I think the idea is that you would be able to look at it geographically, and it would make more sense to move people proximal to other clinics to those particular clinics in a time of an emergency.
One more from the podium. So if Sierra Clean County is running like an emergency operations center, for example, in a, you know, an acute situation and wants to keep track of his staff, would you anticipate some the trying to keep this updated semi-real time? So as people are in a clinic, working in a clinic for a 12-hour shift and then update it when they're off duty and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I think it would be an obvious thing to actually connect this with some sort of scheduler that would have more or less real-time capabilities. I mean, I mean mentioning this last week to emergency management, they were saying that they did be interested in also this, just the economics of it. I mean, down to that level. And that's kind of where these decision makers are coming from. The clinic managers are just actually trying to keep the clinics up and running the best they can with the most number of services. Yes, I mean, it would be advantageous. And I don't see any reason why that actually wouldn't be relatively simple to implement. I mean, every day, every 4 hours, I don't know. Any other questions? All right, great. Thanks, everybody.